This is the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.
One, two, three, go!
I'm going to tell you a story that I think is really worthwhile for girls, school girls to note. So in Athens, the last event is the 4x400 at any Olympic Games. It's first the ladies and then the men. And in Athens, the 400-meter gold medalist was the Greek girl. And the Greek 4x400 team was, they were going to win the gold. They were the favorites. And the stand there was full of blue because, you know, the Greeks wear blue and white. And they started the race and they were about second. Guys, I can see it in front of me right now. And it was tight. It was tight between them and the Americans and everything was tight. Their third runner, as she took the baton and moved, the Russian girl stood on her, across the lane, so they would have been disqualified, and stood on her shoe, so her spikes came off. She put her shoe on, and she carried on running, and it came to hand the baton over to the last, the Greek, the world record holder, and the Olympic gold medalist. And she was 30 meters, 40 meters behind. And I wondered, how was she going to run this race? Because, you know, she could have just walked it if she took that baton and she ran that last 400 as if she was winning the gold medal for Athens. That stadium erupted, all of us. I mean, if I could have run down there and hugged her or got an autograph or done something, I will never forget that in my whole sporting. It's probably the most amazing sporting, sporting moments that I will ever have experienced. And that's what we have to remember when we go to the Olympics. It's about being there. It's about doing it. And running, even if you come in last, running as hard as you can. That's it, boys.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Super Sports Schools Podcast brought to you by Spur. I'm Alex White.
I'm Tim Mithama.
And in this episode, we're at the St. Mary's Hockey Festival in Joburg.
We caught up with Rothal, a legend of the sports. Find out more about the state's schoolgirl hockey.
And we also discussed the Olympics. She was a coach at the Athens Olympic way back, and she's also excited for this year's Olympics in Paris.
And finally, we face off in a new game.
So,
enjoy.
We're joined now by a legend of the game and a legend of St. Mary's. Rozhal, thanks so much for joining us and being on the Super Sports Schools podcast. We're very excited. We've heard a lot about you, and it's just so cool to have you with us finally.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here. I hope what you've heard is the truth. And can we keep the not so good stuff quiet? Okay.
So starting way back, you were so integral to hockey in this area and throughout. And I want to know where your journey started when it came to hockey.
Well, I started at school. I played hockey from primary school. I grew up in the Eastern Cape. So I went to a school called Victoria Park High for my high school. And hockey was we were crazy about hockey. And that's where it all started. And I was privileged enough to have coaches who love the game, and I started playing. I played provincial hockey at a very early age because we only had under 18 teams in those days. So I made it in my grade 9 year, the Eastern Province. I don't know if it says more about how bad they were, how good we, you know. And yeah, I've always loved the game. I had a talent for it, I assume. And I went to watch the national team play. In the old days, they used to stand with their national blazers on and sing the national anthem. And I told my mom I want to play in that team. And that sort of just how it evolved from there and then into coaching.
We're going to get into the coaching and the whole journey that it's been. But I think if we take it back, obviously your involvement has extended to the Olympics as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think for any sports person to go to the Olympics, that's the dream.
Of course. And I mean, as you would know, by my age, I was unfortunately playing at the peak of my career when I captained the national team during the height of the apartheid struggle, and quite rightly so, the sports boycott. And so I waited for 13 years as a player to play internationally. But it then became too difficult to make the Olympic squad. And so I have never played. I missed out on 3 Olympics. And how many other people missed out on so many more? So I don't, you know, that's not an issue for me because we carried on here and tried to play hockey to our best possible capabilities. But being able to coach at the Olympics, and we actually opened in the Athens Olympics, we were the first event. South Africa, Holland. So now the team had played in the 2000 Olympics, so it was, but it was my first time as at the Olympics. And singing the South African national anthem at the very opening match was just the most amazing thing. And so it's the single biggest event in the world. I know the World Cup soccer is quite a big thing, but the Olympics with so many sports. And what has struck me about the Olympics, there are in Athens, there are like 17,000 participants, less than 1,000 win medals. So even if you're running with the last time in the marathon, you're still running and you're doing it for your country. And it was something that was all, you know, you're overawed by the fact that people are doing what they're doing, giving it their all, even if they know they lost, they've got the slowest time in the event. And that's what the Olympics is. It is just an unbelievable.
I think it's very cool that you look at it like that, especially because at that time, South African hockey, and still today, women's hockey is not professional. And you're going as basically as amateurs to the highest competition in the world with the top teams from around the world, where they've got so much more money that they're putting into the sport. They've got the professional frameworks in place. So it must be an interesting experience from that point of view, where it's a much more of an uphill battle.
Yes, I think we decided we were able to go to a World Cup before the Olympics, and we battled there. We ended up 13th, and we decided that we could not use money as a limitation. So as a team, we had a collective, and we decided our limitations were not going to be money. And from there on, I think our fortunes changed. And in Athens, the opening game against the Dutch, they pumped us because we just weren't on their level. But the irony of that event is we lost 2-1 to Australia, we lost 1-0 to Korea, and we beat Germany 3-0, and they were the gold medal winners. And at one stage in that Olympics, we played five matches, lost 3 and won 2. They played 5 matches, we lost 3 and won 2.
Yeah.
They won 3 and they were in the semi-final and they won the gold medal. And that's the margins of how tight it is. And I agree with you. The fact that we're not even semi-professional is absolutely a really tough ask for the girls and the guys and everybody who plays sport and goes to an Olympic event and competes with professionals. But there is something special in South Africa. You're playing for your country. And if you can get to an Olympic Games, it is just the most unbelievable opportunity.
I mean, that hard work and dedication through really adverse conditions is so indicative of our country going through struggles and not having the most, but putting in the effort. I was wondering, what did the preparation look like for you guys coming from playing a World Cup and then going straight into as, yeah?
So for us, the fortunate thing was I happened to get us invited to the pre-Olympic event. And what happened at that pre-Olympic event, we played Australia. England, Australia, us and Spain were at that event. And we won the gold medal. We won that tournament. And what happened there, it was a run-through of the Olympics. But what that allowed us to do was have preparation in a different phase. And I mean, we really, our whole aim of any event was preparation for the Olympics. And then, of course, we had to qualify through the Africa Cup. Well, Africa Games. And that Africa Games was in Abuja, Nigeria. And it was hard. It was tough. And you've seen just what's happened in Ghana. But we had such training opportunities. So we saw it as an absolute. We were better than all the African teams at that tournament. We played Nigeria in the final, and I think it was about 8 or 10 or whatever. But the preparation opportunity, because our team never could get together enough. Our distance is a negative in this country. We ran a lot of squads, and I had coaches around the country helping us in certain areas, like a high-performance structure. But that All-Africa Games was unbelievable. And then because we were starting to do well, other teams wanted to play us so that they didn't have to play us at the, you know, didn't see us for the first time in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So we invited to China. We went to Korea. So we got invitations where we didn't have to foot the bill. And we had a major sponsor at the time, which was Spar, who assisted us not to pay the players. We never paid our players. No South African women's hockey player in my time, and I'm sure now, has ever been paid to play as a professional. It's amazing, yeah? As a South African representative. And I think that just gave us an opportunity. We got a big wake-up call in that first game because the Dutch went up two gears, and we were still at the gear that all our preparation had given us an opportunity for. I think Germany underestimated us, so we scored quickly and we got lucky. But we can do this. We can do this.
We're going to talk more about it a little bit later on in the show about the Olympics, specifically about this year's one, because we want to unpack from you and all your experience the state of women's hockey in South Africa at the moment. So we'll get into that. But I think to get there, we still need to talk a bit about how you've actually been involved in hockey for probably the longest time here at St. Mary's, which obviously has given you legend status, as I mentioned at the start. Where did it begin, your involvement with St. Mary's? We're obviously here at the St. Mary's Festival as we record this, which is something that you've been instrumental in bringing about.
So I started here before your grandparents were born, in 1986, as the first team hockey coach. I'm a phys ed graduate. I went to university in PE, and hockey was, I mean, obviously I'd played. I was already a national player. I was already the national captain. And I came to a school that, for me, was just fantastic to come to, because sport has a profile. Girls' sport at St. Mary's has a profile. And the commitment of all the girls in various sports is, I mean, I thought I'd come to somewhere that I hadn't experienced enough of in other schools. And then, so I started coaching the first team in 1986, and I've coached them, except for the year that we were in Athens, the Olympic year, I've coached them for 36 years. And I've been the assistant coach to Roxy Turner, who was a national player, and now Cindy Brown, who went to the Olympics as well, the 2008 Olympics, who's now our coach. I've been their assistant, but prior to that, so it was about 4 years prior to that, I coached the side I've been involved with the first team all that time. But it's more for me the growth of schoolgirls hockey that I've experienced over the last 25 years. And television has played a huge role. The fact that these top world tournaments are now live, we can watch them live. It is such a fascinating spectator sport, especially if you know what you're talking about and you know the game. So hockey has really taken the next step. But here at schools, our drive was to put down AstroTurf. And it took me probably 10 years to persuade the board here, but they really bought into it. And we put our first turf down in 2000. And the chairman of our board at that time, Mr. Nick Dimon, told me, if we're going to support this AstroTurf, you have to run a tournament. And I said, as long as we don't run it over Easter, because I'm not competing with any other event. And this is where it started. It started with 12 teams on this very turf. And then it's grown to this, I mean, Jill Quick, or Quicks as we all call her, has taken this event to another level, and who's our number one organizer here. And then, of course, we've been fortunate enough to put the second turf down, which is a multi-purpose, which has allowed this tournament to be here. But what I've seen is the quality of schoolgirl hockey that I saw here this weekend has surprised me, not because I haven't seen it before, but I haven't seen so many good teams. And it's just exciting to see what we can able to produce here. And so that has been my involvement. And I coached the South African under 16 team to Zimbabwe, where we watched our national team play the Olympic qualifier and where they got their World Cup entry. Peter Kutsia, first time a woman's drag flicked. And she was the master at it. And in those days, the goalkeeper still used to lie down in front of the goal to stop the ball. And of course, the drag flicking made them stand up. And now when you see goalkeepers, in fact, it's the single biggest improvement. Schoolgirl goalkeeping is at a different level than what it was, say, 5-6 years ago. And so I coached the SA under 16 side. Then I coached the Junior World Cup side, as I said, to Argentina, where we ended up sixth in the world, which was a surprise, beating Germany, England. And that is in 2001, not so long ago. Well, long ago, but we were then competitive. But what changed? The rest of the world started investing more money in their under 21s. So they have become semi-professional, and we are still in an amateur space. But in 2001, we came sixth in the world. We lost in fifth and sixth place to New Zealand, and I'm still grumpy with my team because we were better than New Zealand. So, you know, and that has been my involvement. So always schoolgirls hockey. I've coached provincially, Southerns, EP schools. I've coached at all areas. And I'm just passionate about the game. I love it. I think it's one of the best games you could ever play.
So you've talked a lot about how special hockey is here and how it's grown. And I just want to know what's so special about what's happened in girls' hockey? Because I've been catching the games here and it's been splendid hockey.
I think there's a real vibe around being able to play this game well. There's a, you have to be an athlete. The skill level of some of these players is remarkable at pace. And what it's this tournament in particular, because of the format that we play, we don't have an A section and B section and a C section. You have an A section, you have a section where everybody, you have eight teams in a pool to start. So you have to have a seven. And I think you come here and you get hammered 1 year and you go home and you say, I'm coming back, I want to be better. Because I can tell you teams that are now playing in this run for top six. I mean, St. Anne's, for example, a few years ago, they had a really tough time. And now they're in the running here. St. Mary's, we've been here for how many years in finals and whatever. We're going to play for 13 to whatever. That's not a bad thing because now we're going to get up again and say, how do we go to the next level? I think coming to an event like this, so it's not only this one. There's all girls. There's Aranya top 12. And then there's the ones who don't go to top 12. These tournaments expose top teams to not such good teams, and you go away and you want to make yourself better. And I wish our national side had more time together, because when I coached the national team, I had more time with the St. Mary's first team than I had with the national team. And that is the honest truth. And I really think we're trying hard to change it. Giles is doing everything in power. They're now heading to China. They're trying so hard to change it. That is our single biggest frustration.
We've got a new little game that we've decided we'll play to do with the Olympics.
Okay, let's see if I can remember.
It's got a very, very creative name of Olympic, was Olympic, never Olympic. Basically, I'm going to give you, we're going to go one by one. They're 10 in total, so you each get five. I'm going to give you a sport, and you just have to tell me if it is Olympic, was Olympic, or has never been Olympic. Simple enough.
I'm excited.
Simple enough.
There are a lot of strange sports that have been Olympic sports. So.
Yeah, I think you're going to catch me a lot because you tend to focus on the main ones, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay.
All right, Ross, going up against Tim. Are we ready? Yes. I think we'll let you go first as the legend of St. Mary's in the game.
It's a bit unfair to face somebody that was actually at the Olympics, though. I just watched the TV.
To be honest with you, what I really saw at the Olympics was the coach, the bus, the village, and the hockey fields. And I watched one other event. Well, I watched two other events. But the one was archery because that was the original Olympic Stadium in Athens. It's marble. You cannot believe what it was. And then I was privileged to watch the athletics on the last night. And I can tell you a story about the 4x400, but we'll save it for when
okay,
we get to
it. I think we'll have to hear that, but let's play the game. All right, first up, your first sport. I say sport, but it is painting.
Non-Olympic.
So are you saying it was or was never?
Was never.
Never. It was.
Jeepers, that's amazing.
1912 to 1945, they had a whole lot of different arts that they held.
That's right.
And ironically, originally the Olympics was meant for amateurs and all the artists were professional, so that's why they got rid of it.
Exactly. In fact, I remember reading that fact years ago.
Well, there we go. Okay, so nil-nil. So a plunge for distance. Diving into a pool for distance. Olympic, was Olympic, never Olympic.
So like dive in and swim as far as you can.
No, just dive in and then stay still and see how far you go.
Doesn't really feel like a sport. I'm going to say was Olympic.
Yep, it was held once in 1900 in Paris.
Can you believe that, hey?
So is Paris, that another one, Paris?
I'm going to say Paris 1900, there were a lot of obscure things. So the record was 19.1 meters for the gold. Jeez. And it was only held for men. All right.
As a lot was
in 1900, yes.
We won't get into that one.
Lawn bowls.
It wasn't Olympic.
Never Olympic.
Commonwealth.
Yes.
Commonwealth sport.
Yes. It's only ever been Commonwealth
That's
Games.
That's right. Commonwealth
South Africa
sport.
Is very good at it in the Commonwealth Games. We've got the fourth most medals and the third most gold, 17. So, yeah, it's a Commonwealth Games sport.
That's right. I was also at the Commonwealth Games and lawn bowls was there.
I thought it was an Olympic sport before I
would have thought
did
too.
This. Yeah. So it's a tricky one. Tim, BMX.
Oh, that's there. That's at the Olympics right now.
Yeah, since 2008. Yeah. It's been there.
It's a young question.
Okay, Roz, your next one. The obstacle swim.
Sounds like it shouldn't, but let's go. Yes, it was.
Yep, it was. 1900 in Paris.
Same, Paris.
It was a 200-meter course with obstacles and you had to swim your way.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, well.
I'm just assuming.
It was there. Tim, next up, chorus singing.
So a group of people singing.
Yep, choir.
So Kauai, that's not a...
Britain's Got Talent.
As yes. That was never an Olympic sport.
It was.
What, it is was. This another Paris one?
It was. No, 1912 to 1945. It's the same. It was an art. So it was with painting and all of that. They had it. So I think that's one each still.
Yep. Oh,
no, two. You have two.
Yes.
You have two.
You're lucky.
You got your plunge for distance right and you got BMX. And then you've got obstacle swim. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Roz, next up, walking.
Well, there's a race. There's a walking race. I'm assuming yes.
Yep. 100% it is an Olympic sport. Looks very weird.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. They walk quicker than we can run.
No, they definitely
much quicker
run.
Than we can run.
Tim, equestrian long jump.
That seems dangerous for the horses. So for that sake alone, please tell me this was never an Olympic sport.
It was. Paris, 1900.
Can you actually believe it? I didn't know the horse could... Yeah, I mean, obviously some horses can jump further than others.
But it's the horse
amazing.
Long jump. You wonder what that has to do with the person riding the horse.
Yeah.
But anyway, but horse long jump. Okay, so two all now. Roz, this is your last one. Trampoline.
Trampoline, yes, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, it's Olympic. Canada's the most successful. And it's with all the maneuvers they do on the trampoline, it's considered one of the most dangerous Olympic sports.
It's a pretty hard thing.
Yeah. Tim, your last one. Squash.
No. It was.
You're going to say it was Olympic.
It was.
Never.
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 It was such an interesting thing that they never had it.
Never, ever.
Never. Because so, there's no racket sport at the Olympics.
Except for tennis.
Tennis, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
But tennis,
okay.
Is,
but tennis
only
is new.
Yeah, it's new. And
ish. But I know that Roz wins 3-2.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man. I got
good.
Lucky. I got lucky.
Well, that was Olympic, never Olympic.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sport Schools Podcast.
Spurs got the breakfast you're looking for. Cheese griller breakfast? Got it. Avon toast? Got that too. Carb conscious option? You bet. We have 15 delicious breakfasts for you to choose from till 11 every morning. Like our Unreal breakfast with 2 rashers of crispy back bacon, 2 large eggs, golden chips, grilled tomato, toast, and jam for just $56.90. T's and C's apply. Spur, people with a taste for life.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sport Schools Podcast.
We want to talk to you about the Olympics. That game served as a great little introduction because we've got quite a few things to discuss. I think the state of school hockey, particularly girls' school hockey, is strong. And then after school is where it becomes more complicated. And like we've spoken about, the women's team's not professional. They don't get paid to play. And we've got quite a few youngsters who could potentially be going to the Olympics this year. So what are your thoughts about this year's Olympics in Paris?
So, look, I'm hoping like crazy that with some of the preparation that we've been able, that we will be as competitive as we can be under the circumstances. And I think that's the theory we all have gone to. I mean, Giles has coached before at the Olympics, so he's not new. It's a big thing to go to the Olympics as a player. That whole vast, you know, it's such a huge event. You have to really know how to manage your players. There are a few girls in this team that have already played in the Olympics. But I think the most important thing is we want to be as competitive as we can with what we are able to get. And I think that's what schools have an advantage because we have more time. And so the aim for our country to be as competitive, if it's a 4-year program, how do we get as much time as possible with our team, our squad of 40? I mean, you know, we can make it whatever. And I think if you look at our top sports, our rugby, even our cricket, it's time that they have to be as good as who they are, as what they can be. And so for me, what we need to do, because if we can bottle what we have here, it's all about the time these kids can spend on their hockey with their coaches. And our Olympic team is trying hard to get to that. And I'm hoping like crazy some of this is going to pay off. They're working very, very hard. We haven't seen much of them at the moment, but I know, I spoke to Hannah Pierce last night, who's in the squad, and I know that they really are trying to do this. It's a pity Ghana didn't pan out because it would have been a great, another training time, not necessarily competitive time, but training time.
I was going to ask, for a player, I know we have a lot of people at home that have never had the experience of being in this preparation zone, getting ready. I want to know, what is it like as a player, as a young player, maybe somebody's watching, maybe there's a grade 8 out there going, well, there's another Olympics happening in 2028. What does it look like?
I think our school's program,
particularly in school level hockey, we're getting a lot of players who could potentially go to the Olympics while they're still in school. So at the grade 8, it's not necessarily that far-fetched.
It's not far-fetched. So I think the next step for schoolgirls is often university structure or club structure. And I think where we need to improve on that is in Holland, the club structure is so good that if you can't, you know, if you're not in the national squad, you're still getting top level training and preparation. So for me, it's about, are our clubs or our universities producing enough opportunity for the players that go to them to develop, to give themselves a chance to have a challenge into that squad? And of course, our interprovincials is where this whole selection process really kicks in. Schools, and I said to you, schools, Afri's team here is training more than the Northern's team's going to. Do you know what I mean? Because that is just the way it is. Once our university teams, and if the preparation for interprovincial can be longer and more, then we'll have better interprovincials, which will result in better opportunities for selection, which will result in better national teams. But we still have to get our national squad together more. It's the bottom line, guys. There are players here. There's no reason. Why is rugby the number one team in the world? Have you seen schoolboys rugby? We've got great rugby players. We've got great hockey players.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, it is just the structures that they have to
it's
go
just
in.
Just the structures. And I don't have the answers, because if we had the answers, we'd be doing it. And if South African hockey had the answers, they'd be doing it. And if the country had the answers. So I'm not sitting here criticizing. I'm giving us, this is what we need to be better.
I mean, it is sad to see. I have friends who have siblings who play hockey. I actually have a friend in particular. Her brother plays in Germany, just because the structures here aren't as great as you would hope.
I mean, I think there are a lot of our players who go overseas to play, and we're fortunate to be able to utilize them. But they go as semi-professionals, and there's a lookout. I mean, you know, even going to America as a student and getting to that program, you know, but it's still not here. And it's still not game time with the people we need you to be with, you know. So it's very, very hard. Thank goodness for those programs. But the guys who stay here, we need to be able to have a national setup that allows them to train together more. Our men's team's good, eh, guys, as well. They really are good.
I think I want to end on a positive note, on a strong note. Obviously, we have the team going to the Olympics. There's a good chance that there'll be quite a few youngsters in that team. But then also just in general for young people, words of advice, encouragement from a legend.
So I think it'll be fantastic if we have some youngsters, because our program should want them to be at their next Olympics. And sometimes because we can't support them and financially assist them, they can only afford the one cycle. Do you know what I mean? Whereas you're going to go play against a Dutch girl who's been to 3 Olympics, and you're now 20 and you're in your first Olympics. And then by 24, you can't carry on. So another 20-year-old is in the Olympics. Do you know what I'm saying? So I just want this team to know, no matter what they have done, they're going to go out there and give it their very, very best shot. And I know that. I know many of these girls. I know the coaching staff. That's what South Africans do. And as I said, we have to decide. We do limitations, you know, limitations. But what we do the very best we can with what we have. And I know they'll do that. I'm so excited to be watching the Olympics. And I'm so excited that hockey is going to the Olympics. And that's so important. And we're the best hockey country in Africa by a long way. Egypt men are often a big challenge. But for the women, we're top. And we need to represent Africa as best we can.
Roz, I think that's great words of advice. I'm excited to see how the team does this year at the Olympics. And not just words of advice, words of encouragement as well. But thanks so much for chatting to us so openly, and also for everything that you've done at St. Mary's over the years. It's an incredible story. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you. I've loved my time here.
Here on the grounds of St. Mary's Waverley in Joburg, Roz Howell is a legend. And I hope you now find her as inspiring as we do. It's been a great show catching up with Roz and the incredible journey she's had coaching and playing hockey over the years. If you missed any part of the show or any of the shows and want to catch up, You can watch the Supersport Schools podcast on the Supersport Schools app and websites and catch new episodes every Wednesday at 7 on Supersport Schools DSTV channel 216. And you can also listen to the shows wherever you get your podcasts. I've been Alex White. This is the Supersport Schools podcast. I'll see you next week. But for now, bye-bye.
This has been the Supersport Schools podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by...